Well, here's a motivator for the 2018 elections for pro-lifers that you probably haven't thought about.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Well, hi, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Welcome to the End Abortion Podcast. Thank you so much for spending a few moments with me today. You know, every once in a while, I read you my columns that get published in various publications or websites. And today, I want to share with you one that recently was posted at lifenews.com. Now, many of you go to lifenews.com. That is the premier pro-life news website, and I am a regular columnist there. I urge you to go there every day for pro-life news and commentary, including mine. And the one I posted there most recently deals with a less known motivating factor for the 2018 elections. And what is that? Well, let me share with you what I wrote for lifenews.com. Most of us are familiar with the term census because we're familiar with the Christmas story of the Roman census that brought Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. Every 10 years, we also have a census in the United States. It serves to update population statistics and demographics and also regulates the best way to distribute federal funds to local communities. But another key function of the U.S. Census is to help determine the number of seats each state has in the United States House of Representatives. As is well known, each state has two United States senators, no matter how large or small the state is. Representation in the House, on the other hand, is determined by population. Smaller states with lower populations, like Delaware, only have one representative, while states with larger populations, like California, have 53 representatives. Since populations change with time, a census is necessary to stay updated and to ensure proper representation. If a population were to grow significantly, that state might require more representation in the House to fulfill the constitutional guarantee that each voter has an equal say. On the other hand, if a population has declined, that state might lose a seat or two. The process is called apportioning. When this happens, new lines for the congressional districts must be drawn. This is what is called redistricting. You might be wondering who gets to draw the lines. In most states, it comes down to state legislators, and governors have a veto. The process is actually intensely political, because the way lines are drawn can affect how much of the represented population is Republican versus Democrat in each district, and hence affect the outcome of elections. Even when the population is divided equally, drawing the lines one way can reward Democrats and punish Republicans, or vice versa. Some line drawing can protect incumbents. Some line drawing can guarantee they will face a potent challenger, either from their own party or the opposite party. Consequently, redistricting has a direct bearing on what matters a legislature chooses to tackle and which to ignore. For this reason, it can be a contentious project where nobody agrees. When a legislature cannot agree, some states then hold a special commission as a backup map maker. Other states avoid this problem altogether by only allowing nonpartisan commissions, void of politicians, to draw up the new lines. But not all states have those protections, and one party might have an imbalanced influence on the redistricting. An unchecked influence when drawing up district lines is called gerrymandering, and it is illegal because it can unfairly affect election outcomes that might protect incumbents. The next census is in 2020, and the census data will be released in early 2021, after which the next redistricting cycle will begin. The connection with this year's election is that it constitutes the unofficial start of this cycle, because many of those who will be in office when it is time to draw the new maps for congressional districts will be elected this November. Specifically, this involves some 800 legislators and 30 governors. There are many reasons to be motivated to elect in the 28-term midterm elections lawmakers and governors of the Republican Party, which upholds the right to life, the meaning of marriage, the blessing of religious freedom, the model of limited government and strong security, and much more. Among those reasons, pay attention to redistricting. We are planting the seeds now of how the winds of political power will blow 4 years from now and beyond. And that is my column recently posted at lifenews.com. Some of the information for this article was drawn from ncsl.org and from brennacenter.org. I don't know how many of you have been familiar with this whole process of redistricting. Preparing this article was an education for me as well. It is an important topic when you think about it. And a lot of people do not delve so deeply into what the impact of each election would be and the importance of our state legislators. This reflection I just shared with you points out both of those things. Bottom line, every election matters every year. Every race matters, no matter how local. Get involved, get registered, get active, activate others, and go to prolifevote.com. That's prolifevote.com for our overall election guidance and information. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining me for today's episode of the End Abortion Podcast. Please join us regularly and pass the word along to your friends. God bless you. This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.